Welcome to episode 19 of the Madness Collective, and today is truly mad. First of all, it's 150 degrees where we are shooting, so just all the sweat, just bear with.
That's an exaggeration.
It is gross. Not
exaggeration. The lights make it a little warm, though.
We just finished fucking.
This week in Madness Stories,
I don't know what to say.
Can a company own your DNA? Your silence may be used against you in court. Paula Deen is wild business. Kim and Kanye named their bundle of joy, and of course, much more. So today, true Renaissance woman, also a hit star on Vanderpump Rules, Miss Tina McDowell. My other co-host, web developer and tech guru, Antoine.
Hello.
Hey.
I haven't gotten to you yet.
I was trying to
get She's just so happy because there's two light-skinned people on here this week.
No, they're always talking about
I got some support this week, people.
This is why I don't introduce myself.
How am I supposed to feel? For real.
Do I get an introduction?
How you supposed to feel? You might be in the field and you might be in the house.
No.
We still, the debate is still out. We don't know yet.
I would sleep my way to the top.
I want to tell you a little bit more about what's going on with Tina today, but I'm not going to. I am present because Antoine keeps saying I never introduce myself. So
Mike, it's her fucking show. Like, you already know who she is. She's just introducing the people that happen to show up for her fucking show.
And we have a guest today. The writer was on a new show. TBS, DM Cole's Black Box, Miss Angela Yarbrough.
Yay!
Is this my camera out of the seven?
Yeah, that was yours.
And our featured artist today is Ohio funk band.
Slaves.
Speaking of slaves, okay, you have the color spectrum from white.
What is up?
It actually does. I didn't realize
I
that.
I didn't tell you, I just told I'm going to beat up all of y'all. Every single person on here beat up on my camera.
Oh, wait. I'm calling her House for the rest of the show. Your name is House.
So, housekeeping items. Chad Johnson is no longer in jail.
Good, he should be out. Good.
He did 7 days and now he's out. He apologized to the judge and he is now on his way. And she said a bunch of things about it. But apparently, though, he had already antagonized her. He was really touchy-feely with one of the prosecutors the last time he was in court. He missed, like...
So we didn't get the full story.
We didn't get the full story.
Okay, I wonder what Paula Deen thinks about Chad being released from jail.
That nigger!
So,
I'm going to give him some of my nigger pie. Give that Moon Cricket some of my banana cream
moon
pie.
Moon Cricket, that's a great name.
Moon Cricket is a new racist term I learned this week.
Out of context.
I'm going to let Chris...
Said, you know,
we're gonna
schedule police on you. You better follow fucking orders.
Madness. Focus.
Utter madness. Right. Really. This week in Hot Topic. So we are going to talk about obviously Paula Deen, but at first I kind of want to get the serious stuff out of the way. So there were a few Supreme Court cases that were handed down. One of which is about DNA. And Antoine actually told us about the story last Saturday, so we did a little bit more investigating. And Antoine, do you want to?
Yeah. Basically, what the Supreme Court ruled was that you cannot patent naturally occurring DNA. And when I've been following this pretty closely because I watched a documentary on the BBC and it was about like how DNA was discovered and all of that. So when I would see it pop up in the news, when I read the article, like when you guys see DNA, you probably completely like tune out because you think it's over your head and it's too scientific.
Well, no, I'm saying that's
generally when they talk about things that are very scientific, people tend to tune out. So I watched this documentary, and so I understood a lot of the terms. So when it pops up in the news, and I read, it's so fucking hot. So when I read the articles, I can actually follow them. So last week, when I saw this pop up, I'm like, wow, because it's been something, the example, I think, in the article that we read, one of the companies, one of these big, is it, who was it?
Myrid.
Yeah, they discovered like a gene that was responsible for something. So they developed
breast cancers too. Yeah, two different genes for breast.
Yeah,
cancer.
So they developed therapy to address these two, for lack of a better word, I'm gonna say defective genes. They patented it. So if anybody else developed medication or something based on those genes, they would have to go through this Myriad company because they patented it. This is them saying we found something that happens in people naturally. They found it in a patient and they patented it. So what basically the Supreme Court said, you can't patent that. That's like patenting eyeballs. Like every time a child is born, somebody's supposed to pay a fucking fee to the company that patented eyeballs. You can't do that.
Just let's be specific with it. So what it means is that DNA that was just patented, that is for breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
no one else can create that gene again. Even
though they're not created. That's why it can't be patented, because it's naturally occurring.
Also,
they discovered a pattern.
They said you can't what?
Okay, there was everyone has a gene. Everyone has a gene.
Right.
This particular gene. So what they did is they isolated it. So that's one thing. And they said they could patent the process by which they isolated the gene.
That's different. Process
is. And that could be patented.
And if they create a particular pattern where it's not naturally occurring, something synthetic, that can be patented.
So because their argument, the company's argument was that because they were able to isolate the gene and then run a test for mutations within this particular gene, and that's how they can determine whether or not you have a higher propensity for breast cancer or not.
But someone else could perform the same research and discover it just like they did. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the way the law has curved up till now, that person wouldn't be able to do whatever they wanted with what they learned from the gene because the company patented it.
But just to sum it all up, basically what they're saying is, we discovered something, we did something cool, give us some money. Just give us some money.
No, and they've been making money off it. So, but I want to bring this back around, because it involves the Angelina Jolie story. She took the test, and she realized that she had an 87% chance of getting breast cancer.
So now it's a hot gene, now everybody wants to cut.
Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, that's a different.
Everybody wants to.
That's a different.
We're moving on to the next. Okay.
What's the question, Lysine?
My question is, so prior to this ruling, all the other genes that we found to be defective have been patented?
Yes, they've been patented.
So, like, what's the gene, the gene that causes some kind of...
It could be anything. It could be breast cancer, it could be multiple sclerosis, anything.
So
all of that could have been patented.
But the Supreme Court's saying that you can't do that now.
They're saying you can't do it now. So.
Gene. Yeah. You cannot patent
it. It's like you discover some shit.
We are moving on to the next topic. The other Supreme Court situation that happened was...
Maybe not patent it, but they should be able to say they discovered, put their name on it.
They can do that. They develop a process to find it. That can be patented.
Okay, Crescent. Listen.
Next time.
Fuck the company and their money. Whatever. Moving on. So, the another case that was handed down. So, your pre-Miranda silence can be used against. This is actually important for criminals. Okay, if you constantly do bad shit, listen to this, okay? Your pre-Miranda silence can be used against you. So, what happened? There was a case, and there was a man. He was actually legitimately guilty. They couldn't find him. They finally caught up with him. He starts talking. He has not been arrested officially yet. He's just being questioned by the police. So he starts talking. Then they ask him a question like, oh, well, did you actually own this gun? He stops talking. He doesn't answer that question. So then going forward, so they finally decide to arrest him. So then they read him his Miranda rights, okay? So then after that, in court, they decide to use the fact that he stopped answering their questions initially against him. Now, if you get read your Miranda rights, which you have a right to be silent.
Because he sounded guilty because he didn't answer?
No, that wasn't it. The fact that he was answering questions and then he stopped.
Implying guilt.
And so, but he had not been read his Miranda rights yet. So had he been read his Miranda rights first, they couldn't have used the fact that he stopped answering questions against him. But that part, they were like, we were asking him questions. And
why is it fucking called Miranda?
The case that was the criminal, the defendant.
The defendant was named Miranda. Okay. Yeah. How long ago was that? Was that in the 60s?
That case? Yeah, it was a while ago.
It was the 60s.
I don't have the exact date.
I mean, we got a fucking lawyer. I mean, fuck
it. Lawyer.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing.
Give me more information about it, because we got a...
Here's the thing, Lord, with this.
Cornucopia.
If you get detained by the police, don't talk. Like, just don't talk. Just give them your name.
Just
don't say shit.
Don't watch Law and Order. People do stupid shit. I'm like, have you ever seen a fucking episode of Law and Order? And you see it be the douchebags, they'll be like... Yeah, so you raped the shit out of that girl. And they're like, I was eating dinner. I don't know what you're talking about. I fucking saw you. You know how this is going to go? Good cop, bad cop. You're going to talk to me. And they go, I think I want to talk to my lawyer.
Okay.
That's how every episode goes.
Well, yeah.
You should know enough from...
You wasted a lot for that.
In real life, don't talk to the police. Just don't do it.
So, I'm thinking of Elliot Stabler and Olivia.
I saw it too. I started doing it.
What does that mean? So, bad shit that happens to poor people. In Pennsylvania. She was paid via Chase debit card. She said, I don't want to be paid via this Chase debit card because it has a lot of fees attached to it.
She wants a paycheck.
She wants a paycheck, or she was okay with direct deposit.
Yeah.
Only managers and assistant managers get to use the direct deposit option. She doesn't have that. She didn't have that as an option.
My mic just fell.
So she can only take it via this.
And when you take a debit card, there's all these fees. There's monthly fees. There's penalties. There's all these things. So your paycheck, a lot of your money is deducted from your paycheck. So she ends up making like $10 less, perhaps.
So some of the fees are $150 charge for ATM withdrawals, $5 for over-the-counter cash withdrawals.
That one was ridiculous.
$1 per balance inquiry, 75 cents per online bill payment, $15 for a lost card, and a $10 inactivity fee for 90 days. And as Tina pointed out, she makes $7.44 an hour.
Hey, right. When did this happen?
This happened in Pennsylvania.
Well, I mean, the having to pay through a debit card, because back in the day when I worked at those kind of places, it was, how new?
Like the past couple years, that's been like the new
thing. That's how people get paid.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Even now with food stamps with an EBT card, they do not issue... You know, a food stamp, you went to the store. Now you have, it's a debit card.
It
saves so much money.
I completely understand doing it with that. But somebody's paycheck that you are working for this particular money, I don't understand how this system came about. I mean, I can understand them getting
It's a relationship. So, again,
the bank makes money. If a bank secures that McDonald's account, the bank is making a shitload on fees. So it's a partnership between the bank in some way. McDonald's is getting some sort of kickback, and then the bank is making money off of all of these fees.
They are, but... Okay, so when I first heard this, I said, this is absolutely ridiculous. This isn't fair. Give her a paycheck. Give her whatever else she wants, but don't do this. Don't make her have to go to a bank. But now, after I'm listening to everybody, I'm like, there's always another side to the story.
What's the other side?
Maybe this would be the most convenient shit in the world. Maybe it's not.
Direct deposit is free.
Maybe there's some benefits.
There really isn't.
Getting a debit card.
There isn't.
Maybe they're innovative. Maybe they're ahead of the curve, and there's some things that we don't know about.
Did you not listen to all the
things? Everything is skewed. Everything that we ever read is skewed. So that's what they're going to tell us. Another article on another side will tell us something totally different.
There is nothing positive.
This is about greed.
This isn't about having a different side of the story.
I don't believe everybody's bad. I just don't believe McDonald's.
Really?
No, this is bad. This is bad.
If she wants to take $20 out,
they charge her $5. That's bad.
I'm just saying. There's another side to the story that
here's
we
the thing. I'll
there is. We don't need
another
side.
I promise you there is.
Would you stop? I'm trying to.
There is, and it's wrong.
I'm trying to concede one point that you can have. So if you don't, she actually has a bank.
She has
an account at a credit union. Okay, so she actually does have an account. Now there are people who can't get bank accounts. So yes, for them it's helpful, even though it's going to eat up your check if you don't like adhere to all these fees. So yes, for some people who have to go to check cashing places, which takes a portion of your check.
Yes.
So yes, for them it is helpful. But
she has
an account at a credit union. And they're like, you don't have access to direct deposit. That's the part in this particular situation.
And that is free. That doesn't cost the bank or anybody anything. There's nothing more convenient than direct deposit. You get paid, and the money gets deposited early in your checking.
Next topic. So Bloomberg and a bunch of other mayors and a bunch of other major cities are putting a ban on if you get food stamps, you can't. They don't want you to be able to buy soda and other sugary drinks.
Good. That's beautiful.
That's bullshit.
That's fucking great. Good.
It's bullshit. You don't need to be buying soda.
You don't. Thank you. Maybe I'm starting to have faith in the world. I'm like, wow. That was
all right. What's now? What's next? You can't buy fried. You can't buy anything that's gonna produce
You can't. You can't buy hot food.
No, you can't buy hot food, but you can buy the flour, you can buy the chicken, and you can buy the grease. You can buy Crisco with that motherfucker.
But I didn't know you couldn't buy hot food with food stamps.
No, you can't buy hot food.
I didn't know that.
No.
You can't
buy
KFC.
No. When you if you look, if you go to a Subway, it'll say EBT.
Yeah.
Available. You can use EBT. That's the EBT card that gives you cash. You can spend cash, but if you have the EBT card with food stamps, where you just get the money for the food, you can't use it because it's prepared food.
Okay. I just want to clarify what's happening because I don't know if everybody could totally hear what the statement was, but you can't buy food stamps. You can't buy food that's unhealthy for you. That's what they're trying to do.
And
that's
bullshit.
That's how you want to categorize that.
It's bullshit.
No, it's not. You know, but you not even see why that's beautiful.
Tina, if I'm a person that exercises regularly and for most of the time I eat healthy, if I want to go and fucking drink a soda on Sunday on my cheat day, they're telling me you drink that soda, but nigga, you can't drink.
Buy it on your money. We're just
the whole point you have this card. The whole reason you have the card is because you don't have your own money to spend on food.
I don't know why you don't see the beauty in it. I don't know why you can't see the beauty. If
because
it's controlling.
It's a part of a larger issue. They're already trying to make people.
We need to be controlled. We have some fucking issues.
We don't have to eat healthy every day if we take care of ourselves. You can cheat sometimes.
We need to be controlled.
So
we're out of control.
They should
can't force people to be
out of control.
Because people are poor and on food stamps, the government should be able to completely tell them exactly what to do and how to live life.
I'm seeing your side of the story. I'm just saying, see my side. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, fine. So also the other thing in a couple different states. And a couple different states are making people submit to drug testing to collect food stamps. So to that point, then people who get tax abatements should be like taking should have to submit to drug
testing. What's next? Do you force prisoners to eat healthy food also? You're in prison, the government imposes healthy eating on you.
I hope so. If you get any government benefit, then you should be submitted to drug testing. If you're making it for food stamps, for people who collect food stamps, then any government benefit you should be. So people who work for Congress, people who are run like a part
should
of the
a
government.
Part of that.
Yeah. So why are you subjecting poor people to this if you're like, well, it's a government benefit, but you're getting
one
as well? Then, so
if I
want to
eat some shitty food, if I had a rough week.
Angela said something. Go ahead.
No, I was saying it's kind of a fine line because I'm totally with you guys. And if I had to vote on this, I'd probably say. But here's one thing. If I had to vote on it or something, yes, I would side on the fact of, you know, that it infringes upon people's rights, you know, as human beings.
Exactly.
But at the same time, like the whole drug thing, like, you know, you just need some kind of regulation. I don't know how far you would go with that.
About the drug testing? What are you talking about?
Yeah, because it's kind of like maybe those who have a past history of drug abuse or something.
How
like
do
that,
you, I mean, how do you figure it out? So, but
is
so
the registration for it? Maybe it's going to start.
You never want
know.
You never want something to be so that specific, because when you get that specific, then it starts to creep and infringe upon your other rights. So you don't. It has to be something general. There's always going to be a sacrifice. You know, we have welfare. People abuse the welfare system. But the people really need it. It's there for them. So you're always going to have these moochers. You can't get rid of the system because you got some people
So
this is the same thing.
So next topic, Paula Deen. Go.
I want to punch this bitch in the face. Hey, I know you ain't supposed to put your hands on women. I know.
He's talking about Paula Deen.
I know. But she was like, yeah, I just think it would be so cute if we just had a wedding with little nigger babies and bow ties. Oh, my God. Fuck you, bitch. Fuck you.
That would be so cute.
But isn't it just telling and let you know she wasn't trying to be mean. This is just how she really felt. That's amazing. There's a lot of people.
So when you want to have a wedding with little nigger babies with bow ties, your racism runs so deep.
So, in case for some reason you actually are not aware of what's happening, there was a former employee, her name is Lisa Jackson. She had a sexual harassment suit and just basically had a suit against Paula Deen and her company. So what came out during a deposition for this is, as Antoine pointed out, she was asked about how she wanted her brother's wedding to look, and for the reception, she said, well, what I would really like is a bunch of little niggers to wear long-sleeve white shirts, black shorts, and black bow ties. You know, in the Shirley Temple days, they used to tap dance around. Paula Deen laughed and said, now that would be a true Southern wedding, wouldn't it?
But
we don't do that because
the media
would be on that.
Maybe it's a compliment. Maybe in her mind, she really sees it as a compliment. She
I think
her
little
we're
niggers
dancing.
Messed up.
Maybe in her head it's endearing in some way. It's
Tina, I need you to stop. Tina, you're my friend. I want to go in on you. I want to go in on you right now, but
okay.
I'm about to. It's
are
like
you?
You are provoking me.
What if you say a little pickaninnies? Would that have been okay for you?
I just love little pickaninnies and jigaboos and their little white shirts and their black bow ties. Hey, they're so cute.
That's why.
No, it's cute. But as my as my new Norwegian friend told me, he said, sometimes you black people need to just be happy.
That's what he said?
He said that. Wait, listen.
I can't believe you just said that.
Wait, listen.
Now you know they're going to see him at the restaurant and be like, you the one that told niggas to just be happy?
Listen, hear me out. He said, evidently, he was like, look at the
you niggas just be happy
wait,
Norwegian.
Listen.
Oh, now he wants to wait. Go
he
ahead.
He said,
talk.
Evidently, we love you all so much. You see how we all voted for Obama. There's no way he would even be elected if it wasn't for the white people because we are the majority.
So,
we love y'all. We love you. So don't think that we're against you. Please stop thinking that.
I really wish you had not just told us that.
You really should not have
really?
Told
is that
bad?
That's
y'all
bad. Tripping.
It just sounds y'all like your friend is not informed and no American.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Racial issues.
Cut off. He's another one that's cut off.
He doesn't know.
Kanye and Kim.
Tina will not be dating a Norwegian.
Kanye and Kim just had a baby. Anyone want to talk about the name?
Northwest.
I saw North, actually without the last, obviously it sounds corny with the last name, but North I actually like as a name. I never, when I just say North, I like the name, but when you say Northwest, it sounds stupid.
Tina, oh, you're quiet now?
I'm hurt.
Okay.
I'm still stuck.
Y'all do not know how fucking hot it is in the
room. You have no idea.
So we're recording in my place next. I got ceiling fans at least.
So, okay, I'm sorry. We forgot to add some of the hashtag Paula's best dishes, the tweets that came out from everything that came out. So one of them was
nigga stew.
Separate but equal light and dark meat. Mulatto marble cake. Back of the bus biscuits.
I like that one.
Jim Crow cobbler. 3/5 fruit salad.
That was the funniest one, the 3/5 fruit salad.
Kuta kidney beans. That's good.
KKK for sure.
That was another one. With something casserole.
Yeah.
Octoroon orange chicken. Harriet Tubman honey ham. Here, you say this one.
Nigs in a blanket.
Carpetbagger burgers. Can we do that one? Because carpetbaggers are doing the time of that.
I like it. Good job, Andrew. Anymore?
What was a carpetbagger?
After the Civil War, I'll tell you. After the Civil War, a bunch of corporate people, like enterprise people, came down to the South to basically take advantage of the chaos and disarray. So they were swooping up land on the cheap. And so basically sort of like, what's the word? Scum, kind of like, I mean, it was sort of like, oh, you know, you're now dispossessed and hey, let me just snatch up your shit for $5 and now I have all these acreages and stuff. So they're sort of taking advantage. So it's a bad name, carpetbaggers.
I'm so glad. Look, I have a degree in political science and when they said carpetbagger, I'm like, oh shit, I'm drawing a blank right now. Thank you for knowing what carpetbagger is.
Also, last thing, Food Network is not renewing Paul D's. All right, thank you. We'll be right back with This Week in Music. Alrighty.
Yeah.
So let's start with your love for
hot. We're going to go buy a fucking fan. That's what we're going to do.
All right. We are back. This Week in Music. And a featured artist was selected by Antoine this week. So go.
The featured artist is Slade.
You sound really unenthused.
The name is intense in itself. Like, do you think they were talking about
the featured fucking artist is Slade? What was I supposed to do?
The featured artist is Slade.
Okay, do you think Slade is like I'm a sex slave, or do you think it's some black stuff?
Why would you let him get the group out? No one knows people don't.
Actually, the reason the band is named Slade is because, to give you a little bit of background, the band, Ohio. That's where they were formed.
Ohio. What type of music?
They're a funk band. The guy that formed the band, his name is Steve Washington, and his uncle plays trumpet for the Ohio Players. And so he actually was from, I want to say New Jersey, somewhere from the East Coast. When he went to high school, I guess where he lived, they didn't have good schools, so his parents shipped him off to Ohio. He stayed with his uncle, who was a trumpeter for the Ohio Players. When he went to high school, he developed a relationship with other kids in high school, and they formed bands. It was actually, he had a band, I think it was the Mystics, and I forget the name of the other band, but the other band broke up, and then they just combined, and that's how the band was formed. They were trying to figure out what they were going to name the band, and one of the guys walked in, and he had a shirt on that said Slave on the front.
Oh, word?
And they said, that's what we're going to name our band.
Wow.
It wasn't anything deep or complicated. That's how they named the band Slave. So the reason this band is near and dear to... What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, she's rude. She's being very rude.
Oh,
she's being very rude to you. I'd be upset if I were you. I would hold a grudge for the rest of the show.
Okay, let me start over real quick.
It's Godfrey.
No, you were doing a great job. It doesn't matter. You're doing a great
job. Reason this band is near and dear to my heart is because I'm from Chicago, and in Chicago, I have a large family. My mother has 14 brothers and sisters. So on Saturdays, our family would be like a mini reunion every Saturday, and we'd go roller skating.
Oh,
There's a roller rink that we used to go to all the time, and there's one in Indiana called Gary called Screaming Wheels.
Indiana.
And the one we frequented the most was it was called Pinwheel Skating Rink. It was in Harvey, Illinois. There was another one that people went to that was kind of hood. It was in Markham.
We
have an audience.
You
screaming
oh well. Yeah, we
just, I did one
so we have an yeah, audience this yeah, week, we, and this one is talking to him off camera, right?
Yeah.
Bashir's here. But he's off camera. He didn't want to be off camera this week.
Yeah.
Can I take that camera?
Can you sit
second?
Down?
Hello.
Is it me you're looking for?
So.
See how it feels?
So Slave was a staple in the skating rinks in Chicago in the 80s. So when I hear any music from Slave, it instantly it takes me back to my childhood, being around my family and skating on Saturdays. But the band, the song that most of you would be most familiar with, after their first album, the guy that formed the band, Steve Arrington, became the lead singer. And he sang on all their biggest hits. He sang on Just a Touch of Love.
Just a touch.
Yeah.
Of love. A little bit.
Yeah, Watching You. But the song that a lot of people recognize.
Ladies go by watching you.
This is the part I'm looking for, yeah.
Okay. You clearly know what song.
Even
Taylor
Swift.
Do you know the songs?
Yes, I do.
Good job.
Okay. Yes, I do.
Because you really like.
We don't be knowing how much.
You really liked. I don't know if you knew those.
We don't. We're not always clear on what the level of exposure is to the Negro culture.
Okay, so skin color determines what Jesus said. Is that what you're saying?
It's rude.
So rude.
I think this is Duran though.
We all did.
There we go.
Exactly. Name one Duran song. Right now.
Don't you like the wolf?
There's a lion.
It was a lion. Right, wow.
There's a bug in here.
At any rate.
I'm sorry, you go.
The lead singer, it's interesting because this band almost has like a 6 degrees of separation, Kevin Bacon type thing going on.
Your dog is having a...
You know what? All right, when you do, you next week, I think, I'm laughing during the whole entire time you're talking about your fucking teacher.
Because it's rude, Antoine. It's simply rude.
Skank ass motherfucker.
Oh!
So...
This is the most rageful podcast
I've ever done. I mean, look, I'm trying to talk about my fucking band.
Y'all think you're wearing auditions on this podcast. This is the angriest podcast ever. Chris was like, Angela, you're light skinned. Let's face it.
Keep going. I can't hear from there. Keep going.
So.
God damn. Angela was like, y'all invited me.
No, don't let him talk. You can't.
Y'all invited me. Nigga, I was cold. Watch your clothes.
Put your on camera.
Go on, go ahead.
What is wrong with you, niggas? What is wrong with you?
Damn.
Back to Slave.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, the songs I mentioned, those are bigger songs. And Steve Arrington was the lead singer. He ended up leaving the band, and he created another band called Steve Arrington's Hall of Fame. Mm. And he's got a song called Weak in the Knees, and that's the song...
I get so weak in the knees.
It's not that song.
That's
what
so,
but Sheer's not on camera.
So, no, they'll hear him, though, because he'll be on Angie's mic. So... Can you stop, please?
I think
we're not going to get to any of the news. So at any rate...
I'm off. I'm done now.
So a song from Steve Arrington's Hall of Fame is called Weak in the Knees, and that's a song that Jermaine Dupri sampled for Money Ain't a Thing. It's almost identical. He didn't add a whole lot to the song. He just lifted it and threw it. A little bit. It's even the same drums. It literally is a sample, just loop, a little bit of organ and piano on top of it. So, and Steve Arrington still performs. A friend of mine puts together a funk festival in Long Beach every year, and Steve Arrington performed there last year, as a matter of fact. So they still perform.
Does the band itself still perform? The band still performs.
And the whole 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing that goes on with them is, it's not huge, but when they first formed, it was an all-male band, and then when their second album came out, that's when, you know, some of the hit songs were becoming popular. And the woman who sings on like Just a Touch of Love, the woman who sings Just a Touch of Love, her name is Starlina Young. She and another dude and Steve Washington broke off from Slave and they formed another band called Aura.
Wait, who's Steve Washington?
He's the guy that formed Slave. He's the Ohio Players, trumpeters.
And there's a Steve Harrington.
Yeah, there's the Steve. Okay, I'm sorry. I am. I'm mixing his name up.
I was saying I'm confused.
Yeah, no.
So rude.
Yeah, because I'm a little fucked up right now. So, no. Steve Washington formed the band. If I ever said Steve Harrington at any one point, then I meant Steve Washington. But, Steve Washington broke off from the band, and he took Starlina Young, the woman that was singing on Just a Touch of Love. They formed another band called Aura. Aura made the song, what's the one that I sent to you guys?
I don't know. You sent us the link and we were listening.
Are you single?
Okay.
That Are You Single Tonight? Moni Love sampled it. Then Aura became Deja. Aura became Deja and they had a couple of hit songs in the 80s. But Starlina Young is married to James Taylor, the lead singer of Cool in the Gang.
Okay.
So.
This is the craziest
experience
I've ever had.
Oh, wait.
Keep going.
No. Look. Wait. Click blue, and you can. You'll be taken to the playlist with all of the slave songs I picked and the spinoff.
Click below. Yes. While you're watching right now, click below, and there'll be the link, like you said. Okay, go. So, new videos and songs. Obviously, we know Kanye's new album came out last week. And yes, would you like to elaborate? Because you've heard the entire album.
Nope, I have not gotten to listen to it at all yet.
You haven't listened to it?
I've heard snippets of the whole album.
They're not real about the culture.
I love every single snippet I hear. I love Yeezy so much.
Give us an example. Give us a lyric that you like.
I like New Slaves. I like that single.
You got a black guy on the white. Bitches is.
I'm gonna recite three of my favorite lyrics from the Yeezus album.
What?
Rather be a dick than a swallow.
Oh.
Get this party shaking like Parkinson's. And it was like got more niggas off than Cochrane. Yeah. Those are my favorite lyrics. The very first song is called. Damn, what's the name? What's the song?
I don't have my laptop in front of me.
Oh,
everybody's so hard on him, but you're amazed by how conscious he is.
On Sight.
It's the hottest song on the album.
He's thinking so much. He is really breaking down knowledge.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
One person at a time.
I'm going to jump in just really quickly. There's a song called Blood on the Leaves, and when I heard it, I recognized the song, but I wasn't sure whose rendition it was because it samples Strange Fruit, the biggest performer to do it was Billie Holiday. So I'm listening to it, and it sounded way too contemporary to be the Billie Holiday. So friend of the show, Nina Simone's version is the one that Kanye was sampled for. And
I love Nina, she's my favorite.
Yeah, so it is. That's the heaviest song on the album, but it opens with On Sight, and the shit he says, his little Kanye-isms on that song are fucking hilarious. The American Parkinson's Disease Agency, or something, I forget, it's something with agency or whatever in it. They're not happy about the lyric.
Anyway, that's how you gotta give him credit. And everybody that is hard on him, hard on Yeezy, I'm like, shut up. You gotta give him credit. He is amazing. He is a thought provoker. He puts a lot of stuff into the world. We care about him. That's the one album I want. I don't care about albums.
Born Sinner.
No, he has an album called Born Sinner.
Because that wasn't clear.
If you clicked the link, it would have been obvious.
So again, elaborating. J. Cole's album is
As an album.
Called Born Sinner.
No, I was just correcting you. You said he has a single.
Why don't you put that in the parentheses?
Because I assume people are going to click the link that I sent.
Whatever. Drake also
That's what the link is for, to take you to more information about what you need to read about.
You should just
give
all the stuff here.
I ain't got time for all that. Say fucking with me this week. I don't know what's going on. There's something in the water.
Drake featuring James Fauntleroy. Is that how you say his name? On My Way. That sounds boring and stupid. Michelle Williams, If We Had Eyes.
What do you think of that John Legend song?
Tina has something to say.
First of all, with the J. Cole song, I don't even remember it.
It's not a song, it's an album.
We just got that.
And I sent you a link 2 weeks ago with a single that he has off the album with TLC.
The Drake song featuring
James Fauntleroy.
I enjoyed it. I absolutely enjoyed it. It's a very small, slow. It's very much a rapper singing, but I loved it. I thought it was cool. I loved the mellowness.
The Drake?
Yeah,
it's boring and it's stupid.
I mean, I don't want to watch or listen to the whole thing, watch the whole video. I don't want to do that, but I appreciate the song.
Drake is singing again, he's singing that slow, what's that?
He's whining. He's pointing and keeps sweating.
That torture thing that he does.
No, it's good. It's actually good.
I just wanted to comment on my favorite song right now, is the Robin Thicke song.
Oh, yeah.
Blurry Lines.
It's the best song in the world right now, but we covered this song.
No, we didn't. We didn't actually, because she put it back on here because we didn't get to it last week.
Thank you for bringing it up.
No,
but it was on the list. The reason it was on the list is because Robin Thicke has never had a number one song on the Hot 100. This song, Blurred Lines, hit number one. It's Robin Thicke's first number one. Pharrell obviously has had number one songs before, and so has T.I., but that was significant. It's his first number one. The song's doing really well. It did really well in other countries, and it finally came around here in the United States. It was number one on a bunch of Billboard charts in other countries previously. So.
That's the summer shit, I think.
It is the summer
shit. It is the summer song. Everybody thought it was going to be Daft Punk, but it's Blur Lux.
It's Blur. It wins,
100%. So, a couple of other things that came out this week. Michelle Williams, if we had your eyes.
She is snatching wigs on the cover of that single. Y'all need to go look at the image.
Whatever.
She looks beautiful.
She sounds
on this
like
image.
Mickey Mouse.
From Destiny Child?
She looks gorgeous on the cover.
She's trying to come out with something.
She's beautiful.
She always comes out with something.
She's going to fail again.
Oh my God.
She is. Something's missing.
She sounds like talent. Mickey Mouse.
Talent. Damn.
Mickey Mouse.
She has a great voice. It's almost like a Fantasia-like voice. She's never showcased. Her voice is never showcased. But you really thought Destiny's Child picked a girl that couldn't sing to replace the other two?
I'm sure she can carry a tune.
Y'all not trying to hear me. Y'all ain't real.
I love Fantasia.
Okay.
She has a high-pitched duck-like voice.
But they're nothing alike. They're nothing.
They are very similar voices.
No, I can't give myself over to Michelle, but I was amazed at all the compliments. She gets a lot of love.
Yes, they're very similar.
I disagree.
People love her. I don't get it.
The reason you think their voices aren't similar is because you hear Fantasia belting on a song because it's her. Michelle always gets the shitty part of the song in a Destiny Child song. No one has ever heard this girl actually sing. I've seen her sing before. If they put her in the forefront, let's say they go on tour and they fucking let Michelle sing lead on all the songs, people would be fucking shocked.
Chris Brown featuring Aaliyah. Don't think they know.
Who let this bitch on the mic?
So there's a new video out with Chris Brown and Aaliyah is on track. Stop it. And in it, I'm not even talking about it. Forget it. Juicy J featuring The Weeknd.
Yeah. Oh, with the heart, what happened?
One of those nights.
Snore. This song sucks.
Is that Crescent Purple song?
The segment sucks.
So no,
I mean, whatever. You wrote for Crescent Purple.
They're out. This is for me, though.
You can't have a side conversation.
You can't. We're fucking over.
This is a nigger event. Niggas are obviously in charge. It's very chaotic. It seems to be no control. Keep going.
Kelly Rowland is back again.
From the seat filler.
Yeah! I'm not into Kelly Rowland at all, but I will admit the album, I'm listening to
the album's good.
They're decent because, you know, she has producers like Pharrell helping her out. Pharrell can help anybody. Everybody will have a hit if Pharrell's producing. So he did some wonderful songs.
That's my guarantee. Pharrell fell off.
But he's always doing something.
He's doing great now, production-wise.
Every single one goes right in.
But his songs for a very long time, we didn't hear
him. Anything to say about the music stuff?
About anything.
Yeah, music related. Besides Blurred Lines.
Or besides you guys should never spoke before the show.
Lonely Island. Everybody's on this fucking album. Lady Gaga, Justin Timberlake, everybody's on the album. They have a song on there called I Fuck My Aunt.
Really?
I just don't know what to say.
God.
The song is hilarious, though. The songs are actually funny. It's not as corny as I thought it would
be.
Everybody is featured, like, major, like, who's playing Wolverine? What's his name?
Hugh Jackman
is on the album.
Really?
I think Olivia Wilde is on the album.
Do it okay.
I really like
Olivia. They just have segments, and because, you know, Lonely Island is the group. With Adam Sandler. They're rapping. It's a rap sing type thing. They're dick in a box. That type of thing.
So Jay-Z is coming out with a new album July 4th called Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Have you seen the commercials? The promos are everywhere. Like, we're being inundated with it. In the past 2 days, I said, I don't even watch commercials like that, but 4 people have showed it to me via YouTube, this commercial or promo from Jay-Z.
Samsung Galaxy.
There's like every major producer in there. Wonderful instrumentalists.
Well, I'm sorry if Kanye wasn't there, which leads me to believe that something's wrong.
No, because Kanye can sum them all up in one.
That's not true at all. No, that's a fucking lie. Fuck you and the lie you wrote in on. That's not true at all.
We talked about last week how
great, you're a producer. You make good music. How does that make you like Steve Jobs? And these other guys, they stay in their lane. Pharrell actually is the most progressive one out of all of them because he's He's actually succeeded in fashion and a couple other things, but yeah. So, also, Kanye was not there, which leads me to believe there may be a rift. Their albums are being released within a month of one another, which is very strange. Jay-Z, J. Cole, and Kanye all releasing albums within a month.
They're both producers. They're both major producers. Who? They're both Kanye and Jay-Z. They're both major
producers. Jay-Z is not a producer.
He is. You saw him right there. That proved it right there. He's like, no, I don't want to.
He's not a producer. He's a rapper.
I want to, like, boom, boom, boom. That is a producer.
Jay-Z has never produced a song.
That is not even an argument. He's
never produced a song.
It's not even an argument.
Producer.
Clearly a producer.
He's not a producer.
And you know it. The thing is, you're going to have to admit it later on, so I feel bad.
Yeah, I'm coming back in.
I just want you to show me a song that lists Jay-Z as a producer. We'll have a drink.
There is a sixth grade heavy metal band.
Fuck you.
Two young black kids.
That's the best response.
That's great.
Unlocking the Truth.
Is this the one that little kids are playing a little small Questlove?
Yes.
They're great. They're beautiful. I love Unlocking the Truth.
Like, check them out. I think we'll have a link. Well, I know we'll have a link on the website.
We may see Questlove soon. We may go to, Kiss and Grind. Y'all familiar with Kiss and Grind? Questlove is DJing.
Oh, is DJing the next one?
The next one, which I think is at the end of the month. It's at the end of June.
There was a bunch of controversy because supposedly Lil Wayne stepped on the American flag, but if you actually watch the video.
Right. I saw the video. He's rapping, not paying attention. The fucking flag falls under his feet, and he's doing his thing.
What Angie said?
That shit was on purpose.
I didn't see it.
She thinks it was on purpose.
Obviously it's on purpose.
I think it was not on purpose that they dropped and it just they didn't plan it to land. Right.
Nobody knows
it
the main set piece fell.
We're gonna right.
But it was a backdrop to reveal the
Nobody
Negroes
knows
behind
the main set piece fell.
Okay. Thank
no,
you.
Wait.
We got a couple more here.
It was a setup to where he had the American flag and when it fell, there was like a bunch of black people behind him as part of the video.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
I actually was not paying attention to anything she said.
You were.
I was explaining what I thought it was that it was part of the video.
I think Angie's camera got messed up because Godfrey the dog like hit the rug.
No.
She should be fine.
It's looking at her right
she
now.
She should be fine.
I don't think so.
Jay-Z's album comes out on July 4th, by the way, and there's no single. If y'all heard some shit from the album, let me know because I ain't heard a goddamn song. It's coming
he's
out.
He's nervous.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think he is.
He looks like he needs to lose a couple pounds.
But it's the same thing with Kanye. Kanye isn't releasing any singles from his album.
Did you hear that he became an agent?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So if you listen to the show, Jay-Z, we talked about that a couple episodes ago. Yeah, we know.
Tony Braxton.
Sorry,
Toni Braxton is not retiring, by the way. She's recording a duet album with fellow Z-list recording artist Babyface.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching her interview. The last time
you heard a fucking Babyface song in a movie, on a TV show, or on the radio.
I was watching her interview, and then I was reading about her, and it was saying that she just recently went through a divorce, and she looked a little heavy to me, not talking about
Toni did.
Taking medication.
That was old.
Oh, was that old?
She's been divorced for years now.
I appreciated her energy, and I felt like, wow, I think she's a very sincere person. I would love to just hang out with her. I think she's great. That's what
okay.
And her new nose looks fantastic. Come on, Toni already knows. Tamar got a new one too. I'm not hating on them for that.
Why do you think they feel that is beautiful?
Why
do you think that's beautiful?
You know what it is? I think with anything, it's about symmetry. And as black people, a lot of us, we have a lot of times, depending on how your face is made up, those strong, the stronger features actually will complement those other parts of your face, because there are women that have wide noses and big lips and it works with their demeanor. But with some of us, I think what happens is everything is not necessarily as proportional as our standard of beauty would suggest is beautiful. So a lot of times I think that's what happens. Patti LaBelle had a nose job. Janet Jackson obviously had one. Very common.
I just don't feel any of those people needed it whatsoever. I don't feel like that.
Vivica.
That fulfilled, especially Vivica. Vivica's taken way too far.
Vivica's gone too far.
It's not symmetric at all. I think that we have to trust that what was given to us is beautiful, and we have to figure out.
But you say that as a person who is obviously beautiful, and I think that's.
Your eyelashes look great.
No, I think that's what's difficult when you're somebody who is attractive. I'll tell you, Tina, it always, when somebody who's attractive says that, I'm like, you have no credibility when it comes to that.
No one's ever said that to me, and I just...
No, it really is. You're an attractive person, so if you're someone who is not attractive from the Western perspective, for you to say that, that's almost insulting to them, because it's like, you're beautiful, obviously, so.
Well, I don't want to do that. Okay, so at the end of the day, do whatever makes you
happy. I'm going to get my tits done.
Fix Angela, that nose, bitch.
Angela, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to get my tits done.
Are you? What are you going to do?
You're getting a lift.
I'm nothing
much. Because her titties are huge.
They're big, but then it's a sagittal.
It's mental. It's just popular.
You just need the right bra.
Honey. Your boobs are fantastic. You need nothing.
Is your, isn't it? Are they at your belly button? Are they that low?
They're not that low yet.
Okay, that's fine.
And I hear what you're saying, Antoine, but I'm going to come back and I say, no, F that. I'm coming back to what I say, and that is, you are naturally beautiful, and there's a way to figure out how to enhance that. There is a way. I'm telling you. Everybody.
No, saying that. Saying that's the romantic perspective.
No, I promise.
It's so easy for people that are attracted to say shit like that.
Note.
There are ugly niggas out there and they do extreme shit, and I can't hate on them, because ugly people get clowned, and who wants to be clowned their entire life?
Who indeed?
Get your shit.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back with our next segment. Coming back. Thank you. Welcome. If you're just tuning in for some reason, like you're clicking on like our different like sort of sections, we are now about to talk with Angela Yarbrough. I'm super excited. That was a really
talented writer.
Okay.
That is
I'm going to. I have to announce these things, because if not, then it won't happen. I'm going to introduce Angela now. Originally from Oklahoma, where she attended the whitest school in the city, Booker T. Washington High School. She's a graduate of North Carolina A&T State University, HBC. During her last semester of college, Angela got an internship with the Ricky Lake Show and Showtime at the Apollo. From there, she moved out to Los Angeles
and has
Really? So you want to interrupt? You want to interrupt
intro? I'm
sorry. From there, she moved out to Los Angeles and has not looked back. She's a staff writer on the Bernie Mac Show. Denise Richards, It's Complicated. 20 years ago. BET's Read Between the Lines. I don't have to. I don't have to introduce you.
The
I don't have to. She's the co-creator.
And you chose to work with niggas. It was your choice, Preston, not ours.
It's still not Oprah's in the background.
She's the co-creator and writer for the phenomenal all-female sketch comedy group Elite Delta Force 3.
Yeah, right. Oh, wait, where did y'all perform
at? Who gave us the hits? But you seriously. Who gave us the hit sketch, The Housewives of Civil Rights? She is currently a staff writer on the new comedy show on TBS, Dion Cole's Black Box. And she fucking loves scuba diving. Angela fucking Yarbrough.
Yeah! Woo! Say your name. Titties like what?
That's not that type of show.
Apparently it is. So we really do have to remember one person talking at a time. One person.
I cannot believe how hot it is.
So Angela, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris, for having me.
You've been hanging with us for the last 18,000 hours. How do you feel?
It's been all day goddamn shoot. I know that.
Okay, so talk to us about Dion Cole's Black Box. How did you come on board?
Dion Cole, I saw him out at the, Soulnik last year.
Last summer.
Which is postponed this year.
Last summer. It was it. And like, I know Dion Cole sort of, you know.
Is that Picnic and Soul together?
She was asking questions all the
time. It's like Free Mix or like, it's music.
It's
Picnic
and Soul.
Okay. You know Drag News, right? Yeah. You know Drag? You've been to a couple events with Drag News.
We're not having a conversation with Cheryl on camera. Go. Angela Yarbrough.
I saw him at the thing. He was like, yeah, when you say you still write right now, like, or anything? No. Here's my email. I got something coming up I'm going to talk to you about. So then I submitted for work, and then I didn't hear anything. And then right when it started again, he said, submit again. And I did. And then I got the job.
Did you want to elaborate about... You want to elaborate
what
about
happened?
Dion Cole and his relationship? He's a writer on...
Oh, Dion Cole was a writer on Conan O'Brien for 3 years. He did a lot of... awesome sketches on there. I don't know if you've seen. He has a very unique point of view.
Okay.
In which they kind of took that same type of style and comedy that he does and made a show out of it. We have clips, pop culture news, and some internet stuff. So it's kind of like his riff and his.
Is it like The Daily Show, or is it like what's the closest?
Yeah, it's,
I don't know.
It's
I haven't seen.
Like,
Tosh.0.
Well,
which means it's similar.
When you have clip internet shows, when you have clip internet shows like that, people want to compare it to them, but it's not. we don't do like the kicking in the balls type clips and stuff like that. It's, okay. It's not that big.
Yeah, because he has really like the dumb shit. He has dumb shit on his show.
But so
T&I presented in an entertaining way.
T&I went to a taping yesterday. Yeah.
Is it black people stuff on the show mostly?
Seriously?
No, but it'll have a black point of view on some of the stuff.
That's the fuck I said.
Not everything.
Some.
Not. Well, okay.
Wait. What network is it on, Angela?
TBS.
Oh yeah. Then that means actually, I'm open-minded. It's not gonna be.
It's a really good show.
I actually read that. I said that part.
It's a really good show.
I said that.
I have to say, I watched the very first show. What's the other blonde chick? She's a comedian that has a show out.
Amy Schumer.
Okay. So I remember watching the first show of Chelsea Lately. I was like, I don't know.
She had to grow into that.
She had to grow, but it still
it's
got better
hilarious.
And better. This first show, Deon Cole, I watched the very first episode, and at first I had a hint of Anne, but then it was just so.
It picked up?
It was actually. Let me finish. It was actually really good, and I remember after watching the very first episode, I was like, compared to Chelsea, compared to a lot of first shows I've seen, this was actually hilarious.
I'm
this
glad.
Show was really a hit. And now we went to the taping of the third episode. It was so good.
It was
we were
fun.
Genuinely laughing hard.
Thank you, Angela,
for
being
on
the
show.
It's going to be a hit. It's going to do very, very well. Very well.
Well, I hope so. It's 6 episodes now. Let's see if it gets picked up.
So, Angela, how did you get started?
She's
so
available
were,
for weekends also.
When you were in college. When you were in college, how did you get the internships at the Rick Nick Show?
Call your uncle.
Were those on the same summer?
I slept with the president. No, I'm just kidding. Wait, you said how did I get internships?
How did you get the internships with the Ricky Lake Show and Showtime with you?
Oh! Okay. I was in Atlanta, and I... No, wait. Was that... What was that? I'm at that thing. Okay, I was in Atlanta, and they had this... You know the NABJ, the National Broadcasting Journalists, whatever?
No, we don't know what that is.
It was happening in Atlanta. I was doing an internship at CNN in the sports department, okay? And I met this black woman.
She was doing good there.
You talked to your camera.
I really? Okay. No, that's weird.
It's fine. I know. Just talk to us. Do what's
comfortable. Anyway, I met a lady who was at the Ricky Lake Show at the time, and she said, well, we have internships there. I got her information, and that's how I ended up going to New York and an internship there. And while I was there, I did Showtime at the Apollo and Def Comedy Jam.
Did they think you were white when you were talking to them?
No, they didn't.
No, She sounds ethnic. Like if I hear her talk
right
on the phone,
unless all the time.
Yeah, unless you turn it up,
unless
and you're like,
hates you.
Her regular voice already is a white
bitch.
Person behind that voice.
We invited you so we can talk shit about you. Nobody likes you, bitch. So tell us why nobody likes you.
Okay, talk about how you got onto the Bernie Mac show.
Be careful, she's gonna shoot you down in a minute. Just so you know.
What did I do, Bernie Mac?
You know,
I knew everybody there. Nefertari was working there one point.
Nefertari Spencer.
No! Okay, here we go. Steve Tompkins, who he was on like the first season and he left. He came back for the fifth season and he was like, because he was kind of my mentor.
Who was Steve Tompkins?
Steve Tompkins was an EP at Bernie Mac. First season and then fifth season.
Okay.
And he called me because he was my mentor and he always helped me with scripts and stuff like that. And he was like, I'm going to be out on Bernie Mac again and I'm going to bring you on.
Okay.
So, you know, it was like the staff writing position type thing with like the diversity writer money or something like that. You know how they do it.
There was no sex involved?
No, it was no sex now. It was it would have been okay because he's cute.
Even a hand, like,
how?
Not even a hand job.
No hand job.
How was that experience?
That was the best experience of my life. Okay. That was the best show to ever start writing on because it was a family.
On Bernie Mac?
Yeah.
How
that was
Bernie?
Like the uncle I never had. Aww. He taught me how to smoke a cigar, y'all.
Hey, oh,
Bernie.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I miss you, Bernie.
Bernie's great.
Good experience.
The Avatar gave me, you guys had a rap party. And he had the coach, he had these little mini baseballs made by Coach. They're made out of leather.
Yeah.
And he signed each one and said, we had a ball.
Aww.
I have one of them. From Bernie Mac.
We missed
those are the best rap parties, man.
Yeah, this party with those parties.
You went to it, right?
So on Fridays after they were finished taping, they just have a get together, one of our friends with DJ, and we just come hang out. Like people would just come to set,
drink,
come to the lot, just chill. And Bernie would be actually chilling in his office. Really, and everybody else kind of be eating, chilling, dancing, just whatever. It was a really great atmosphere. So
it's family, man. That was family.
It was really good luck. We really do miss Bernie. So Denise Richards is complicated. How was that experience?
Oh man, let me tell you. Because I got hired on. My agent got me this other. Was it which one was it?
I guess that was no. The football player Deion Sanders.
You work with him?
Deion Sanders had a show with him and his wife had a reality.
Right.
Yeah, I think I got on that first.
Zane on Showtime.
No. No, this is his reality show.
Zane is Pilar Sanders.
Well, Pilar and him were married. They had a reality show.
Right, I remember that show.
Or something. And I got a job through my agent on that one, and then I got on Juicy J and them.
Juicy J?
Juicy J's hot.
Did you just say Juicy J?
Favorite person in the world is Juicy J.
You know his best rap lyric ever?
Stop, slow down, bullshit.
You say no to ratchet pussy, Juicy J can't. That's the best rap lyric ever written. That was written.
What is
that's
wrong
the best rap
with
lyric?
You?
That's the best ever. And I asked him, what is ratchet pussy? Because I've been asking every guy.
We had this conversation.
Because I want to have ratchet pussy too.
No, you do not want to have ratchet pussy.
Unless it's AIDS infested or something. I don't want that. But
it's so hot. I'm so tired.
Some guy told me, he said, you do have ratchet pussy. And that's really made me watch.
I'm going to choke.
This is beer.
Beer's broccoli. So Angela.
And he said, you do have ratchet pussy because ratchet pussy means you're down for whatever.
Can you moderate this and get this together?
I'm trying to. What do you want me to do?
She's gonna just keep. She'll be talking about the goddamn law next door in a second.
Angela. Yeah. Angela, did Juicy J speak to you about ratchet pussy?
No, he did not speak to me about ratchet pussy.
Moving on. So how was that experience working with Juicy J?
I didn't get to be near him all the time. I was with the other two writers, and we just wrote for those shows. You know, you write storylines.
Oh, okay.
Well, we don't know because they're reality shows, and there's.
Oh no! It was like,
it's just a story arc. They don't have a script.
The comedy type ones, there's always writers, okay. And they like come up. We come up with. This is like kind of writing a story outline of what.
What is really loose, so that they can feel like it's still reality.
Right. Like we say, oh, they're gonna go to Hawaii this week, and so we plan that trip. But they're saying, hey, we're gonna.
I think people will really appreciate this because.
Yes.
They say that the shows are unscripted, and you're saying that it's maybe not a script. You come up with an outline. You put people in situations that would create drama.
Yes.
That's almost identical to writing a show. I mean,
come on, look at Love & Hip Hop now. You know that. Oh, that's unscripted album.
Can I just interject that the question I asked you was how was the writing for Denise Richards?
I was getting back to that.
Okay.
The same thing. It was that I wasn't on the set with them at all. It was me and two other writers.
Okay.
And we just came up with story situations and stuff like that. And that was about it.
Okay.
I didn't get to interact with people. I worked for maybe a few weeks and that was it.
What's going on with Denise? You ever meet Denise?
No, I didn't meet her.
So you've written a few things and sold them, correct? You've written a few story ideas and shows and you sold them? Angela Yarro actually was, she knew in advance she was going to be on the show today, but she's acting like she didn't know. Bitch, you knew. Continue.
wait, you want me to tell you with like the pilot that we didn't sold to?
She's had some success with writing and just selling story ideas and you
Fuse Network, there was a pilot that I did with Tracy Gamble, who did A Simple Rules. He was
great.
So Angela,
we want to talk about your success, Angela.
Okay, and I'm having a great brain fart. Can you edit this part out?
No,
this there's is no matter.
Hey, Angie, baby.
I don't.
You're gonna come back.
You wanted to.
What? Now she's talking off camera. Now she's talking to someone who's not on camera.
Hey,
she would never be asked
that question. It's gonna hit you when it hits you. My question is, what is your writing discipline like? Like, what do you do? Do you have a ritual or something?
No. Starts with a C.
What's your ritual?
Clock rocks! Don't talk to him, talk to us!
Edit.
No, there's no edit. We don't edit. There's no editing. There's no edit. Tina asked you a question.
Okay, what?
So what's your writing process?
My writing process is this.
Surrounded by
when
ratchet.
When I can't get surrounded by I wake up when I want to wake up, and then because that's how I get after the full sleep, I go to a coffee shop because I don't have an office at home, nor can I work at home because it's very distracting. So coffee shop, and plus I'm putting lots of espresso into my body, and which that helps me to stay up. So I can write my most of the time 6 hours before I start feeling tired.
Does it make you horny?
Not at all.
Okay.
Espresso? Does espresso make you horny?
No.
No, I just figured I'd ask.
Exactly.
Okay,
I'm sorry, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
So you get up, have some espresso, and go to the coffee shop.
Go to the espresso coffee shop. That's
sounds
the only
like
way I can
great
write.
Great job.
That's the only
wow.
way I can write.
Okay, I appreciate that.
So that's what you do every day. That's how you write at the coffee shop.
But except when you're on a show. When you're on a show, you go
to
the office.
I'm on a show. No, I'm in an office, and this is different. I mean, this is.
When you're on the show, is it full time? Is it full time on a
radio
show?
This is, like I told you, I've been doing scripted half-hour series.
Right.
This is the
first
one that's kind of this type of variety type show.
Is it an hour though? How long is it on?
The show?
The show's half hour.
Yeah, the show's half hour. And so this is me going through pop culture and finding stories within the news of pop culture and stuff like that, which is different than writing the scripts for her.
There's so many questions I want to ask her, but she's still employed, so I can't ask her those questions because we can't.
Well, you also like to scoop
guys. We get put on blast. I don't know. I want to be like, do y'all really get along like that well? Which writer you hate the most?
I'm sorry. Before we talk about scoop diving, how did you come up with the sketch Housewives of Civil Rights?
At the coffee shop. And I know that I was talking to Neff, and we were talking about doing something.
Nefertari Spencer.
Friend of the show, Nefertari Spencer.
We were talking about doing something with, the Housewives, the Atlanta Housewives.
Yes. Because they're easy to spoof.
Yeah, they're easy to spoof, but it was like, you don't want to do regular spoof, so I don't know if they just popped in my head when sitting there doing it.
It's a great sketch.
It really is. It's hilarious.
This is a link to the sketch.
Oh my gosh. I got so motivated after I watched the sketch. I tweeted, I did everything about it that I could because I was like, this is actually really hilarious. This is good.
It was so good.
Thanks.
Because I haven't
read this sketch.
So, what is a blessing to you is that you have managed to just write all day and work on your art all day.
That's what unemployment is.
No, you're living. You're living and doing well.
When you ain't working, that's called, that's writing. I'm over here creating. when I'm not on a job.
Evidently, you've been able to do it. Like,
that's true.
You've been taken care of. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so scuba diving. You like to scuba dive?
Yes, I do. Enjoy scuba diving very much.
How did you get into scuba diving?
My sister, she travels all the time. So years ago, she used to go on vacation and she would do the Discover Scuba thing, which if you're not certified, you go with the dive master.
I know nothing about this.
So that's what happens. You can go without being certified. So she did it, and then she was like, we had some trip planned. She was like, you need to get certified. Oh, we want to go to Australia, which I didn't end up going. But she was like, get certified. And I'd done it before, just Discover Scuba as well. And that's when I took the classes and became certified and got my advanced certification too. Nice.
So what's been your coolest experience scuba diving and what's been your worst experience scuba diving?
Okay, probably a lot more worse. Okay, I'll tell you, the good stuff was, probably whenever I'm around the big animals. That's when I
had the most fun.
I was in water with bull sharks.
Bull sharks.
It was kind of like in Costa Rica, but the water was really, really clouded. So it was kind of like, the
shark was
too far.
So all of a sudden you looked up, the bull shark was like right here.
He wasn't on me, no. This one was in the distance. I saw the shadow of it because it was cloudy. Yeah, the bull shark licked my face.
Oh my god.
Any shark, no, but the best place
is
Turks
and Caicos.
They're not
aggressive though, are they? They don't typically eat.
Turks and Caicos
and Cayman Islands are the most beautiful.
Okay.
My worst experience was just recently when I came back from the Galapagos Islands. I spent a year and a half saving for this trip.
You got sick though, right?
Yes, I was going to live aboard boat because that's the only way that you could see the islands. And I got fucking sick. I ended up eating something in Quito, Ecuador. At a fucking KFC. I don't know why I did that because we couldn't find anywhere else to eat. But anyway, I ate bad chicken and I was sick the whole time. I dove a couple times and that was it. And I spent so much money. I didn't tell you how much money I spent on
that. That's something you did on land. Like, I'm trying underwater what, like, bad experiences.
It's never bad.
That could happen to you in LA. Like, I was.
I can say the only time it was bad. Where are
you going?
It's like, missing, that's not what I fucking asked you.
I'm missing out on Galapagos, nigga. Do you understand how that's the best diving in the
that's
world?
That's where Darwin was, right? Darwin was out there.
Cool. Hammerhead sharks.
So you almost got eaten by a bull shark, that's what you're telling me.
What is happening right now?
No one's listening to me.
I'm listening to you.
Out of order. This show is out of order right now.
I said the worst experience was just me not being able to get into the water, or if there's a trip where I get in and the visibility sucks.
Oh.
There's been trips like that where the visibility is bad and they know the damn well.
Visibility changes underwater. Like,
when I went to Florida for a trip, there was a hurricane that passed by, so it stirs up all the shit underwater.
Oh,
this company was still like, this invisibility, we went out yesterday. And then you go out and it's bullshit, but you can't see nothing. They just took your money. See what I'm saying?
Did you get your money back?
They're like, we can't guarantee it.
Well, anything else you're working on? You want to talk about projects? Coolness?
Well, when's your show air? When does it air?
Oh, yeah. Show airs now at 10:30 on Monday.
Wait, so that's permanent? No longer 10 o'clock? It's 10:30.
It's 10:30. They moved it.
10:30. 10:30
TBS.
TBS.
You know what the YouTube channel is for the show?
Well, we have Dion Cole's Black Box.com.
Go to the website. Yeah, that's it'll take you.
Great show.
Dion Cole's Black Box. We're gonna put this underneath. Can I do this?
No.
We're
not
doing that. Dion Cole's Black
Don't
Box.
Don't be on YouTube.
This yes. box.
Oh.
What are you?
Oh.
It's not that kind of show.
Inappropriate.
Well, it kind of has.
You told me to jiggle my titties.
It has been this
jiggle
show.
Your titties doesn't mean play with stick a finger in your cooch. Show me two different things.
Well, thank you, Andrew.
We're a jiggle your titties type show, not a stick a finger in your cooch type show.
Thank
also,
you.
Draw the line.
Thank you, Yarbrough, for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. It was such an experience here.
We're going to actually.
I have no self-esteem now.
No, Angela, no, we have to ask her one thing, and I think we should ask all guests this. So what's one thing you're going to manifest this year?
Is that the last remarks? Can I get to last remarks?
No, it's not the last remarks. I just want to ask her.
Something about to work out the schedule.
Huh? Go ahead.
What
am I going to manifest?
What's something you want to manifest this year?
Staying employed. Damn, no slip of the tongue.
Employment coming out of a black person's mouth is very difficult.
The whole year. In a job that I like. That's what I'm manifesting.
That's a good. That's
no
good.
No employment. That's really
good. Oh, that's a really good one. That clarification. The qualifier at the end at a job that I like.
That I like.
That's very. That
I want to go to.
Go ahead. I'm
gonna analyze my body language.
I am going to.
I'm just gonna say goodbye, and I had a good week.
But it's not last remarks. That's actually not it.
What are we doing?
You're supposed to, what do you want to manifest this year? That was the question.
Oh, what do I
want? Oh, no, that's not
what she was just asking Angie that. She was
asking all of us.
No, she was just asking Angie.
Okay, last remarks.
See, look, that wasn't my fault.
No,
now I look like an asshole,
that's
right?
That's confusing.
But I was okay.
Who's producing this show?
I will stab you on camera. Angela, no, sorry, not you. Antoine, your last remarks. Say it again.
Have a great week.
Tina.
I might be in love.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
That's fucked up.
The Norwegian.
Angela, you have last remarks?
Hey, everybody, be happy. Yay.
All right. I'm going to apologize.
Angie, do you have a website?
I get last remarks!
Alright, you're gonna hire me at some point to do your website for you?
Sure!
I want all of y'all to have a website.
I'll see what happens.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I apologize for the chaos. Come back next week.
Yeah, she did a shitty job this week of moderating. You did. You were.
You
cannot control us.
Most angry show.
You cannot control us this week.
The most angry show.
What is wrong with you? You losing it, girl. You losing it.
Come back next week. Thank you.
South
Madness Collective. The Madness. Collective.
All 8 cameras.
I just love it.
Fuck you.